Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For, as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against the own body. Or do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, When you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the Old Testament lesson. Although I was tempted to preach on the epistle lesson, I got to tell you this story first. There's a reason I didn't. Years ago when I was in seminary, I was a first-year student assigned to a church. So my job was to read the lessons, kind of get us used to being in public and reading, stuff like that. And the new pastor for the church was sitting in the back there. And next Sunday he was going to be installed. The lay minister and I were doing the entire service, and I got to read that passage out of 1 Corinthians 6, where it starts talking about prostitutes. And I got embarrassed and started stuttering. And I looked down out of frustration and said, Who wrote this bloody stuff anyway? The lay minister got up there for his sermon, and he stammered all the way through it, too. And the pastor walked out of church, looked at the two of us, and says, I got my hands full. I've never been able to preach on that one ever since because I don't want to read it. Kind of that boogeyman thing. You know, I think teachers had an easier time in school when there was recess and we were allowed out. Because I was one of those kids that had to get out for recess, you know, in the morning and then at noon. I know it's hard to imagine, I was not a kid who would sit at a desk and be quiet. But sometimes when it got really cold, like on days like this, we had to stay indoors. All right, so us guys, there were board games we played. There was one, it was a World War I air game. Oh, I loved it, nobody could beat me. I was the champ. So of course, when I shot down the opponent's plane, I had to dig it in and laugh and make a real spectacle of myself. And finally, the teacher, out of frustration, would play the game I hated. Did you ever play Dead Fish? Or the quiet game? Imitate Dead Fish. Just lay there or sit there and don't move. Whoever moves or makes a sound first loses. Well, that's a stupid game. I hated that game, and I was usually the reason the teacher called it. Poor thing, she needed a few minutes of peace and quiet. She just needed the time for silence. There are times in the Bible where God plays the silent game. For periods of time, He's not talking much. It's what our Old Testament lesson says. God was not giving visions or talking much to the people. In the past, He'd done it in spectacular ways. Deuteronomy 5:22 tells us, He spoke in a tremendous voice from the fire and cloud and dark mist. There were times there was a booming voice from God. Right now in the Old Testament, there in 1 Samuel, God is quiet. Sometimes in the Bible, He was quiet for months. Sometimes between the Testaments for 400 years. In the Old Testament lesson, young Samuel is serving Eli at the tabernacle. And Samuel hears the voice calling him. And three different times, he goes running to Eli and says, You called me. I am sure by the second or third time, Eli was getting really annoyed. Come on, parents, you ever get woke up by your kids? On the second time, are you really as nice? Eli was just a nice old guy. But finally, Eli's figuring this out. It's God calling Samuel. We do know from Scripture that Eli and his sons were not doing their priestly duties well. In fact, Eli's sons are described as quite evil men who sort of perpetuated all sorts of different crimes or sins on the people. And God grew quiet. I think there's a lesson. God grows quiet when we rebel against Him. When we have that deliberate act of rebellion, God gets quiet. How much do we value God's Word? How much do we value His voice? You know, in spite of Eli's flaws, and he had quite a few, the way Scripture defines it. I mean, he raised two worthless sons. That's his fault. In spite of Eli's flaws, he still knew the voice of God. Samuel, go back, and when you hear,
Tell the Lord you're listening. God is constantly speaking to us. Matthew 4 tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word coming out of the mouth of God. The word used there is not just a one-time thing. It's a continual, that God is continuing to speak to us. It's a continual action. So not only does God continually talk to us, God is very persistent. I mean, he has to call Samuel 3 times before Samuel finally figures out it's the Lord calling. See, God doesn't give up on him. You know, I kind of think about this at home when I'm calling one of my kids and I'm yelling up the stairs. You know, the first time, you know, I'm pretty nice. Second time, third time, it's first and middle name. Then it's like, oh, nuts, I heard my middle name. We didn't hear Dad the first 2 or 3 times. All right? God seems to have a lot more patience than we human beings do. We get so busy and wrapped up in our lives that we don't always hear the voice of God. But God is persistent. The prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19 is hiding in a cave. He sort of upset the king. You know, you do, you upset kings, you know, bad things happen. So Elijah has to hide in the caves. And God passes in front of the cave in a fire, but there's no voice. God passes by in a whirlwind. There's no voice. Then Elijah has to lean forward and listen very quietly to the voice of God. Sometimes he speaks very softly. And sometimes God throws his voice. Did you ever see one of those ventriloquist people do that? Throw their voice? See, stop watching stupid pet tricks on YouTube. Watch some of this funnier stuff. All right, but they'll throw their voice. Okay, watch the pet videos. They're funny too. All right. Anyways, God throws his voice. Now, how does he do this? 3 times he calls Samuel. Samuel doesn't get it. Finally, he uses Eli's voice to say, Samuel, that's God. Next time, tell him you're listening. And see, if we're not careful, we miss that when God is speaking to us through other people. Good reason why we need to be surrounding ourselves with godly people. Because if God's going to speak to us, we want to hear it from godly people around us. And how do we get this? We ask for advice. What should I do in this situation? You ask godly people. And you can get your answer that way. God even used the flawed Eli to give his word. And our text says that Samuel was quiet. Speak, God. I am your servant, ready to listen. Now, how do we hear the voice of God? No, I'm not talking about booming from the ceiling kind of thing. All right? That's not the way he does it. He does it through his word. See, the key to hearing God's voice is to be in the word. You don't hear the voice of God if you're not reading and studying the scripture. And when you know the scriptures, now when I say that, I don't mean perfectly. Do any of us understand everything in scripture? All right, Pastor Sonova, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you understand everything in it? I'm not even going to guess on the percentage that I understand. All right, but I don't think it would be a passing grade. So we continually study it. Because we want to know the voice of God in Scripture. Because the world around us is booming with other voices. And what Satan doesn't come at us directly contradicting what God says. Because we'd recognize that one immediately. Satan's tactic is always, did God really say? You notice how that one works. Did he really say, which gets your mind thinking. If you're not into the word, you don't know what God really said. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all of Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is that God calling? Sorry, I had to. The answers to life are in the Scripture. Now, when I say that the answers to life are in the Scripture, you're not going to find a chapter and verse that tells you the name of the person you're to marry or which job you're supposed to have. But it will tell you the attributes of a godly woman or a godly man, what it means to have a godly boss, and what it means to be a godly worker. It is in there. It's not, you know, people say, well, I love the youth Bible. This will answer all the questions youth have. What, they have a separate Bible? No, it's the same thing. The Bible tells us what we need to know for salvation. It doesn't answer our every question. Okay? It tells us what we need to know for our salvation, what God has done for us, for our salvation. I wish I could get more information. Like, I'd like to understand that whole dinosaur thing. All right. I still think dinosaurs are cool. All right. And I know they're cool because my father used to ride a brontosaurus to work. Okay. But the Bible's not going to give me all those answers. All right. But it tells me what God has done, and it tells me how to live a godly life in response. We hear the voice of God when we know His Word. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.